So we are now entering into the part of the introductory period where I mumble and try and talk and fill space until we actually have time for the speaker to begin the presentation. Usually takes about 1 minute to introduce the speaker, and then we don't have to kind of sit waiting for the... Oh, you have a long bio. Okay, we're going now. All right. I will cut it down. All right, so friends, please join me in welcoming Mike Gifford for the presentation on Digital Public Goods, Incentivizing Collaboration. Mike is Civic Action's Open Standards and Practices Lead and a thought leader on open government as well as digital accessibility and sustainability. He has worked with governments in North America and Europe and spoken internationally, and he is a W3C invited expert and recognized authoring tool accessibility expert. Mike has served for 2 years on the board of the Digital Services Coalition, and in his last year he served as president of the board, where he helped better define what it was to be a digital agency. And in this role, he met with leaders in government and the private sector who are working for modern digital government.
Rebecca, we're for ages. We're done.
Yeah. I know. Yes. This is the part where I'm going to hand you the mic, and you're going to mic up, and then I'm going to stare at the clock until it's 5 minutes past, so we're aligned, and the video operations center people are happy, and the live stream people are happy. And we, as soon as it clicks over, we welcome you with formal applause.
Excellent.
We have a process.
Is the audio working okay?
Sounds everybody sweet. Hear Mike?
All right.
All right, fantastic. So I'm going to step off the stage, and in just a moment, I will say formal welcome, and there will be applause, and then you should begin, please.
Marvelous.
I know. I'd like to make sure that we run a tight ship, folks. Also snacks, just in case I haven't mentioned the snacks enough excessively, we still have more.
And do you want to carry them down the stairs?
Oh, that I got, no.
Okay.
I got that.
Okay, excellent.
We have eaten enough now that becomes a less painful process. And formally welcome Mike, please.
Thank you very much. So how many people here are excited and filled with energy at this point of the day?
Yeah,
so we want to hear, this is the last talk, right? At least when we're talking, great. Well, you need to keep up the energy, and I will not be able to talk for longer because this is not the last talk. But thank you so much for being here so late in the day. It has definitely been a long, long process. So how many people here have heard about digital public goods? So a fair number, okay. So I've got some ideas about digital public goods. It's still forming, but since I'm an editor on Wikipedia, I sometimes go off and edit things. I have opinions there. Drupal is an example of a digital public good. There's also other ones. It is open source, open standards, open data. There's effort to try and build it out and expand it, so you're dealing with a lot broader set of criteria. And it's not simply looking at code, but they're also, if you're looking at the certified digital public goods, you're also looking at other elements that are more holistic to the project. They're designed to support the public good. So that's one of the pieces of this, is that you're not just looking at a licensing discussion, but looking at the public good. The DPGA, which is the Digital Public Goods Alliance, is trying to structure this around the UN Sustainable Development Goals. And these are very broad guidelines on what we need to do in the next 5 years to go off and to make the world more sustainable so that we can live on it as a species. Now, how many people have been to one of the earlier SDGA or SDG talks? Because there's actually a couple of them that are happening this weekend. A couple people? Good. I think there will be more tomorrow as well. So do try and take a chance to learn about this new framing of how we can collaborate more effectively together. Yeah, so this is about trying to go off and build respect for best practices around security and privacy as well. Those are things that are built into the process. So I wanted to bring some comparisons around the free and open source software, because I think that a lot of the ideas and momentum has come from FOSS, and that open source has really helped to inform open data and open government, and that sort of set of ideas about collaboration and sharing. FOSS has been very successful at trying to go off and build and share knowledge across different domains. And it's also highlighted the challenges of trying to go off and build structures that allow for maintenance, because it's much, much easier to start to build a project and to set something up than it is to maintain it over time. And there's so many different projects out there on GitHub and other places that have been spun up, but there hasn't been enough momentum and energy behind it in order to go off and to keep it lasting over time. There's also been a challenge of how do you make sure that if something is free, that people understand that as it being free as in kittens as opposed to free as in beer, because and even free as in speech, because these are the idea that you have to give back and contribute to, and that it is free, but that does not mean that it is free of responsibilities. It means that you're using this, but you have to, there's an obligation inherently to go off and to find ways to give back to the community to make sure that it's there in 5 or 10 years' time when you still need to use the service. That freedom doesn't come without costs. Despite a lot of people believing that free means that there are no costs. Freedom is nothing left to lose, is not the phrase. So there's, lots of challenges around makers and takers and how to go off and make projects sustainable. So I did mention Drupal earlier, but there's a few other DPGs I want to mention. And there are a lot of projects that are good projects, that are open source projects that are doing good. But these are ones that have gone through a process by the Digital Public Goods Alliance that have been certified to say that they conform to the set of standards that they've constructed. So making sure that they align to the SDGs, not to all of them, but to some of them. They've made an explicit connections to some of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, that they have respect for privacy and security, and that they have documentation practices in there so that the people who are using those products are not going to be left without the ability to help maintain and carry them forward. So Drupal's one. I was involved in getting Drupal to submit their application as a certified digital public good years ago. I'm glad that we went through the process and began that early. DCAN and CCAN are also ones. More people will have probably heard of CCAN. How many people here have heard about DCAN? DCAN is basically a Drupal implementation of a knowledge network or knowledge repository like CCAN is. So it's a similar kind of product, but it's done with a Drupal base as opposed to I believe that it's a Python base for CCAN. I think that's right. There's also different operating systems. So you have Fedora versus Rocky Linux, so some different standards there. There's also community-minded initiatives that are part of this. UCID, StreetMap, also things like Xroad and Decidium that are really structured around government and governance and how to try and organize around governments. People here, Xroad, people know what Xroad is? Every government should have Xroad. It's just like such a great, sensible way to go off and organize data. So much more secure, so much more organized. Look up Xroad in Estonia if you're at all interested in government and where things are going. I also wanted to highlight OBI, which is an accessibility tool for scanning websites. It was built by the Government Digital Services and Access Mod. So there's a few other ones that are there. But it's interesting to see that there are sometimes multiple tools that are sharing the same sort of community space. That you can choose from. It doesn't mean that there's only one way to go off and to build a particular pattern. Despite the fact that DPGs are fairly new, that there are options of different types of software tools that you can choose to implement it that might be better to suit your purposes. So this is the first time I've given this talk, so I probably should have mentioned the Digital Public Goods Alliance earlier, formally in the slides, so you could have seen this. But it is really quite interesting to go off and to see how this organization has come in to try and help facilitate this and provide more of a governance structure around this. A gentleman named Nicholas Gruen was the first person to coin the term digital public goods, and he did that for an open data report that was set up a while ago on open data. But it's an interesting, there's lowercase digital public goods, so things that are informally structured, and certified digital public goods. And there's a lot of projects that will probably never go and be submitted to submit themselves as a digital public good, because it does take some effort and it's administrative work, and not everyone's interested in necessarily doing that. But it's if you're thinking about your project and the impact of your project and how you can try and motivate your people and your participants, having it signed up as a DPG is one way that might be helpful to go off and help to motivate people to be involved. And I think it is useful to have more organizations striving to become digital public goods, because I think that open source is not, or free software, these are talking about the licenses that motivate some people, but it doesn't motivate most people. Most people are going to rally more around the idea of doing good than they are around a license, no matter what that license is. As I said just a moment ago, most people are not inspired by license discussions. I think that there are also options to go off and to think about good and framing good, even public goods, even trying to think about public infrastructure, public goods as being things that people are able to understand in a more tangible way. So I think that there's elements that can be useful as well. That effort to commit as an organization to documentation, security, and privacy, and to do that publicly can also be important, particularly here in Europe, where there's legislation like the GDPR, or for that matter, the CSRD for sustainability, if you're trying to look at documenting and organizing how and why the tools you're using are supporting a progressive an effort towards the planet and thinking to document and organize the structure on the planet. I think it's also easier for clients to understand the idea of digital public goods as well. They're going to get more excited by it because, again, people don't care about licensing. You're contributing to an open source project, it's software, who cares? But if you're contributing to a project that is being used by thousands of other sites that are helping to support healthcare around the world, and you can build that story, that's something that people will get excited by. And a story that people can feel that they're contributing to, and that they're helping out and feeling good at the end of the day. So I think that's quite useful. Okay, excellent. So I thought it was 15 minutes is easy. The next one is looking at incentives for individual contributors. So this isn't necessarily